Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And welcome to the Water Cooler, everybody. I'm David Brody. It's Friday, October 16th. Look, before we get started, a quick programming note. President Trump's going to be holding a rally soon in Ocala, Florida. We're going to have full coverage on our website. That's americasvoice.news, so you can go check it out there. As for us today, we're talking about those dueling town halls. There was Joe Biden and ABC's George Stephanopoulos casually talking like a fireside chat with hot cocoa and cookies. It was like Muzak could have been playing behind them. And then over on NBC, boom, you had President Trump, Savannah Guthrie. It was like some heavy metal concert complete with guitar smashing. It was the polar opposite. And by the way, how about the buzz this morning about this woman in the back? She's being called the nodding lady, a black woman in the background behind Trump, nodding in approval about everything that he said last night. She's gone viral. We're going to talk with her on the show today. But first, to our newsmaker, I want to bring in Biden surrogate and the former mayor of Baltimore, Stephanie Rawlings Blake. Excuse me. Stephanie, thanks for being here. Really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. Happy Friday.
You too. You too, Stephanie. Hey, so compare and contrast the town halls last night. What was your sense, though, after watching both candidates?
I think you pretty much summed it up. It was a very heated debate with Savannah Guthrie, who I think was asking the tough questions. And, you know, even though I think it was a slight, someone said that it was the Biden town hall was like watching Mr. Rogers. But, you know, what I know about Mr. Rogers is he's got a Lifetime Achievement Award and seemed to have won the ratings last night. So I think America looked like they were looking for a calmer version of the presidency moving forward.
Stephanie, I've got to ask you about the enthusiasm. We hear a lot about how there's so much enthusiasm for Trump, though the polls aren't showing. I mean, the polls are showing Biden could win this thing in a landslide. I'm curious about the enthusiasm for Biden, because I don't get a sense that it's about enthusiasm for Biden as much as it is maybe enthusiasm to get Trump out of office ASAP.
You know, I think there's probably a little bit of both. But I think what you saw last night was Vice President Biden really connecting with people on a personal level, talking about the things that they care about the most. And when you see that and when you feel that, that's why people are willing to stand in line at the polls for hours and hours, because they know that we can have better. And that is that's certainly possible with the Biden-Harris ticket.
Are you suggesting, as it relates to mail-in voting, and forget mail-in voting for a moment, just people we're seeing in line, it's record turnout so far. Are you suggesting that that would be a boon for Democrats? Is that your sense that that's what's going to happen because of the people that are standing in line? Because people aren't sure if that's for Republicans or Democrats, but it does seem like that means it's good news for Democrats. What's your take?
Well, I have not seen all of the coverage, but what I have seen and what I have heard is the areas where there's extensive turnout, those are very heavily Democratic areas. And I think I feel very good. I know that what that shows to me is that we're not taking anything for granted, that we want the Democrats want our votes counted. We want to make sure that they're counted. And, you know, we see what the polls say, but we understand the most important poll is when you get your vote cast.
I've got to ask you about the African-American vote and Biden. I mean, there's been story after story that Trump could do better among African-Americans, especially African-American males. What's the response to what you've been seeing out there? Because this is some of the reporting. I don't mean from campaign sources. I mean, this is literally what we're seeing in terms of some of the facts on the ground.
I think anyone would be foolish to take away from President Trump his share of the African-American vote. There are African-Americans across the country who support President Trump and will continue to support him. That being said, what I've seen is really decisive outreach, particularly to African-American men who really know what they have to lose under another 4 years of Trump. You know, it is interesting to me that our president wants to tout his undeniable economic accomplishments and then say to African-American voters and African-American male voters that, you know, basically, you know, I'm the best president since Lincoln. But when you block efforts to ensure that African-Americans can, you know, go to work freely without fear, I think it does cause many pause. That, you know, yes, we like a good economy, but we like to know that we'll be safe. And when there has been excessive force or a questionable death at police hands, that our president would have our back. And we haven't seen that.
Hmm. Is there some acknowledgement about criminal justice reform? I mean, he did sign it into law. I mean, it's something that he pushed for, Jared Kushner pushed for, Van Jones was even part of that effort. What is your sense about criminal justice reform? Because that's been talked about for a long time, but he did get that done, and that seems to be significant.
Yeah, you know, the Republican, under the Obama Biden administration, the Republicans made it very clear that they did not want him to have one success. They wanted to do everything they could to block him moving forward. So his efforts for criminal justice reform were blunted by a Congress and particularly a Senate that did not want to allow President Obama to shine and to do the things that he knew that he could do to make our country better. I will say that with the Republican-led Senate, President Trump took the opportunity, and I think it was a Republican-led Senate, took the opportunity to push forward criminal justice reform, and no one could take that away from him. But to suggest that he did it when no one else could, without acknowledging it was the Republicans in the Senate that stopped criminal justice before, I think is a disservice and a revision of history.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I really do, because I remember the history on that for sure. Hey, Stephanie, I want to ask you a little bit about the Black Lives Matter movement, law and order. That is obviously kind of a contour. I mean, COVID-19 obviously is a huge contour, the number one contour. But there is that law and order that Donald Trump wants to, you know, keep on talking about. And Joe Biden and the Democrats didn't really talk about this at all at their convention. As a matter of fact, they didn't talk about it. But now Joe Biden is talking about it a little bit more. Do you think there is an inroad at all for the president here to talk about that? Because I know people ultimately want to feel like they're safe.
So the president consistently uses coded language. So when he talks about law and order, what a lot of African Americans here is, I will support the police no matter what happens, no matter if you rough us up when you arrest us. The president has said, don't worry about it, rough them up. I'll pay your bail money. When confronted with tragic circumstances of deaths of African Americans at the hand of the police, he can't skip over it fast enough than to start talking about law and order, which again is code for police. Let me explain to you, I will have your back. And that leaves many communities feeling unsafe, unprotected, like second class citizens. So, you know, the Democratic Party, African Americans across the country, you know, everyone, they want to have safe communities. But when President Trump starts talking about safe communities, that I think will be welcomed. When he's using this coded language, that means that he will continue to overlook the injustice and the tragic deaths of African Americans at the hands of the police. I don't think he's going to gain many new voters with that line.
Yeah, I definitely think that is an area where he's more than vulnerable, for sure. What about the difference between most of the peaceful protests we have seen from the Black Lives Matter movement, and then some of what we've seen from Antifa, and honestly, some of the Black Lives Matter, maybe not organization, but the movement itself, is there's been some protests there that have gotten out of hand. What do you tell folks in terms of what they need to understand between the peaceful protests and what's going on when they're throwing statues into, Baltimore Harbor, for example?
So I know better than most what happens when there are, peaceful protests and the lawful expression of your First Amendment rights, and when that turns into destruction. We experienced it here in Baltimore, and I said then, I continue to say, when we allow for destruction, because just like now, people are saying it's Antifa or this group or that group, what I know with my own eyes is that people who aren't from our community come into our community to cause chaos, to cause destruction. That's what we saw in Baltimore, and that's what I know is happening in these other cities. And when that happens, and when the community does not step forward, I was blessed. I had pastors, I had community leaders, I had other elected officials who stood up to them and said, listen, not in our name. And honestly, with Freddie Gray's family, that said, not in his name. This destruction is not in his name, and we need to do more of that, because no one wins when it's that level of destruction, and the communities that are left behind are really left suffering.
Very well said. By the way, I got 10 seconds left, Stephanie. A quick prediction on Joe Biden in 2020. Going to win this thing in a landslide? Close? What do you think? 10 seconds.
I think it will definitely be closer than we think. I do believe that he will win based on what we're seeing, and I pray that our president respects our country and the will of the people enough that we will have a peaceful transfer of power and continue to be a beacon.
Thanks, Stephanie. Gotta run. See you next time.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome back to the Water Cooler, everybody. Well, look, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if you are a Bible-believing conservative Christian in this country, your values are under attack. The fallout from COVID-19 has definitely shown that when it comes to religious liberty, especially, the government in many liberal places has shown that those rights are non-essential. And there's a big national event this weekend to address all of that. More on that is one of the organizers. Right now, joining me, someone I've known for a while, Kirk Cameron. Kirk, great to see you.
Hey, David, great to see you too. Thanks so much for having me on and letting me tell everybody about non-essential.
You bet. Well, let's start about it. Non-essential, obviously, I think the title says it all, but give us some details about what's happening this weekend.
So non-essential is a play on words. We live in California, where the governor has deemed it non-essential for us to go into church and worship God. In fact, I have friends in Idaho who went outside their church in order to sing Amazing Grace in four-part harmony, holding their hymnals, and their hands were put into handcuffs. Our essential freedoms and our Christian way of life is definitely under attack. We see the loss of the freedom of speech. We see the loss of the freedom of religion and ability to worship all around the world. But our country is special that way. We're founded on these essential freedoms given to us by God. And the concern is that this is going to get worse and worse as we relinquish our rights and our freedoms, and God begins to be replaced by a giant government power. Bad things start to happen in the nation. So a bunch of us are getting together. Dinesh D'Souza, Charlie Kirk, Sissy Graham Lynch, Danny Gokey, Pastor Jack Hibbs, and Rob McCoy, frontline American doctor, Dan Erickson, David Harris Jr., and others, we're going to be talking about the reality of what is going on in America, try to dispel some of the fears that are paralyzing many of us from living out our Christian lives, and then talk about what the real threats are, what the real concern is, because we're staring into the abyss. And on November 3rd, we're going to go one of two directions in this nation. And we want people to be fully informed. So we want them to tune in and watch Non-Essential.
Well, Kirk, what's interesting and what's ironic here is that I'd like you to explain a little bit about where you're going to be, where you're going to be holding this event, because in California, trying to hold a church service indoors has been extremely controversial and now deemed, I guess, illegal in portions in certain counties in California and maybe around the state, depending on where you are. So explain the venue for this, because that's interesting in and of itself.
So the venue of this is a big church here in Southern California. It's Pastor Jack Hibbs Church, and there's going to be 2,500 people who are enthusiastically, gratefully excited to come together to speak to one another in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs and sing and make music in our hearts to the Lord inside the church in California. And this will be broadcast out on Facebook Live to the rest of the nation and the world as we bring solutions to the table and talk about how we live as Christians in a constitutional republic like the United States of America.
Yeah, it's really fascinating to know that there are certain churches, obviously out in California, Rob McCoy is one of them at a Calvary Chapel near you out there, who basically, you know, he says he's not defying court orders because he's really not. He's obeying, well, you know, what's in the Bible to worship freely, obviously, and in the Constitution. But I want to ask you a little bit about, you mentioned God and government, and I think you've kind of hit on all of this. Where are we going as a society specifically? Because it does seem like for many people, government has become their God rather than God being God.
Well, as a father of six kids, I pay attention to what my kids are learning in history classes. And one of the things you find out is that government always tries to play God throughout history. And you if you move towards socialism, although that's been a trendy a little bit today, history says that socialism is a very, very bad thing. It always inevitably leads to a totalitarian government system where all of your freedoms are taken away, your freedom to worship, your freedom to defend yourself, to work and provide for your family, freedom of speech. These are all the things that we treasure in our country. And we need good people who love God and who love their neighbor, who value the life of the unborn, who value our religious liberties, to go be in leadership positions, like Amy Barrett in the Supreme Court. Quality people, smart thinking people who have a faith in God, who fear the Lord and love their neighbor. This is the right blending of faith and government, is a faith-informed conscience, a faith-informed lifestyle in your neighbor, positions of leadership, so that we can expect blessing and protection from God for our children and our grandchildren. You go the other way, and it leads toward destruction.
Well, you mentioned the other way, and then earlier you said staring into the abyss. What does that abyss look like, Kirk? Where is this potentially heading? What are some of your concerns? I mean, already we're seeing churches, you know, under penalty of law for worshiping. Where could this go? What's some of the real tangible concerns looking into the crystal ball, if you will?
Well, you don't need to be a genie with a crystal ball to look at where things like this go. You just look around the world, and then we can look into the rearview mirror of history. And we see places like Venezuela and Cuba, and we see other places that are now in such terrible decline because of the form of government. And frankly, I think we get the form of government that that reflects our view of God. And so if God is non-essential, then we look to government to be our protector and our provider. And history demonstrates that when an all-powerful authority like a government is able to make all of the decisions for your healthcare and your education and your economy and your worship, that goes south, that goes downhill really, really quickly. So we know where this would go. And that's why our founder said that our republic, our constitution was made for a holy, religious, and moral people. Without that, we're cooked, because it's all about governing ourselves, not being governed by a king. It's we're citizens, not subjects of a king. We're citizens, which means co-kings. We're here to self-govern under the rule of God. If we do that, we can remain free. If we don't, we'll be in bondage.
For Cameron, we've got about 10 seconds or so left. Just give me the final details as to when people can see this, where people can see this.
Just go to nonessential.live, nonessential.live, and RSVP, and I'll send you an email link so that you won't miss a thing. It's Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, nonessential.live.
Phenomenal. Kirk Cameron, great to see you as always. Love to have you back. Coming up, we've got so much show, I can't even explain. Back in a moment.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Welcome back, everybody, to the water cooler. Look, you know what? I know Donald Trump, always the star of the show, but there was another star last night. Let's be honest. She didn't mean to be a star, but let's roll some of this video, because in the back of Donald Trump, take a look, there is Myra Jolie. Look at her shaking her head and giving the thumbs up. She was shaking her head all night, a big Trump supporter, and everybody couldn't stop talking about her on Twitter. Look at another thumbs up. Well, anyhow, she stole the show, just nodding in support on every single thing that Donald Trump said. And guess what? We found her. She's down there in the Florida area. Myra Jolie joins us now here on the Water Cooler. Myra, thanks for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Well, my goodness, you know, not every day that you go viral, but there you were going viral, shaking your head and giving the big thumbs up to the president. Tell me a little bit about how you got in there to begin with, into the debate, and what the process was that like. Like, how did that all happen?
Well, it was very easy, the process. My friend and I, we got there at 5 p.m. There was no lines, no checkup. We asked the police. We saw everything was so flowing that we thought we were in the wrong place. And then we went there, and there were two ladies that were standing there just waiting for the doors to open at 6:30. They were giving masks. They were doing the temperature checkup. And they were, you know, everybody was in their best behavior, I would say. Very, very, very uniform, very polite, very organized. It was nice. It's not the first time that I am an event that involved the president, vice president. I've been supporting him since the beginning of times. And I was supporting him before. Supporting him was in fashion.
I've got to ask you, so how do you get an invitation to an event like that? Because they said there were going to be Trump supporters, Biden supporters, and people that were undecided. Do you have to apply to get in? How does this work exactly?
Well, I have friends of a lady who's running for a state Congress in Florida. Her name is Ileana Garcia. Ileana Garcia was approached by a Switzerland reported a magazine in which they wanted to be part of Trumpilla, the Trump parade, when all the boats are going, doing some sort of caravan in the water. So what Ileana Garcia called, put this lady and these people, this journalist from Switzerland, in contact with me, because she's running, so she cannot be doing it. And she, you know, always been so graceful. And then she passed me the interviews that she can go to. So, and I love doing it. So the the people wanted to go to my husband and I, we have a boat. So we were going to take the boat in the water. We live in the water. It was easy for us. And then they asked for friends to be there. So I got three of my friends and we went to the parade. But also, Ileana Garcia put me in contact with somebody from NBC or something, that they were, you know, looking for people to attend the Trump town hall. And they wanted people to ask questions. So they were trying to weeding out what questions they were going to pick to ask the president. And then at the end, none of my questions were you know, selected, because probably my questions were very simple. Like, you know, one of the questions were that Mr. President, when he came down the escalator, he told his son, Don Jr., now we're going to see who our friends are. And I was going to ask Mr. President, President Donald Trump, if he really found out who the friends were. But, you know, that question was maybe too much of a softball, but I ended up having the best seat of the house. I probably, you know, it wasn't meant to be for me to ask a question to the president, because my presence apparently behind him, I felt like telling him, and I did tell him, I got you back.
Right. By the way, did they know you were a Trump supporter? Like, in other words, where did they put you behind him? But did they know, like, how did you know to sit right there? What did they do? Just said sit there? Or how did that work?
Well, I don't think they by the looks, the way I look, maybe they thought I may be a non-supporter, because you know how it is. I mean, we Martin Luther King said, I want our people, the people, to be judged by the content of their characters and not the color of their skin. But still, right. You know, it was a good optic to have a black woman sitting behind for some reason. So they switched me with the lady who was sitting in that chair. And maybe because I was too tall, that's what we were getting at. My friend and I, maybe you were too tall for the screen, and then maybe that's why you were switched. Maybe, or maybe not. Things happen for a reason, and that was a very good reason. So whomever had that right decision, I applaud them, because they did a good job, apparently.
I love it. I have a couple minutes left, maybe a little less, but Myra, I want to ask you specifically about when you heard that you were going viral and everybody was talking about you. What was your reaction, and how did you hear about it?
I hear about it because my husband was at home, and all of his, he's an American, white American, Marine, an attorney, as American as you can have. And all his American friends, they were, you know, they were sending him messages about it, about, you know, your wife is, she's in the back of, what's happening, that Myra, that's what happened. So, you know, it happens like that. Then after one thing led to the other, and my friends were calling, and then, you know, one of my good friends, Lizette Gonzalez, and Lizette Gonzalez's brother-in-law called one of the producers, say, I know that lady behind, and one thing led to the other, and people were viral. But let me tell you, I'm a good cook too. And I did a Goya video in which I was showing when one of those times that they were trying to boycott Goya, and I was so upset because I don't want nobody to mess with my kitchen. I'm a good cook and I make dinner almost every night. So I was showing people what is really to make a sazon to marinate a chicken or a meat vis-a-vis Goya. So that video went 800,000 views. So, you know, I have my pretty good share of what it is, the simple life going viral.
Well, Myra, I really appreciate you joining us here. Boy, you have sent the world on fire a little bit with NBC News must be going crazy. So I appreciate you coming on, and we'll have you. We've got to have you back at some point. Thanks again, Myra. All right. We've got a lot more on the show, including Kirk Cameron. You remember him if you're like over 50. Come on. I mean, he was a teen heartthrob. Still a pretty good looking guy, and he's got a lot to say about Christian America next. Welcome back, everybody, to the Water Cooler. All right, when you think of Washington, D.C., you think of a lot of things. I mean, bureaucracy, the nation's capital, America, nice statues, government, and yes, the swamp, of course. Well, this weekend, it's going to be the scene of a constitutional march, part of a five-city Freedom USA tour organized by the group 1776 Forever Free. And joining me now in studio is the co-founder of the organization, Dr. Cordy Williams. Dr. Williams, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on, David. It's an honor.
Well, tell me, talk to me about what's going to happen this weekend. What should we expect?
Well, we're going to be gathering about 12 o'clock tomorrow at the National Monument from 12 to 1. We're going to march around the White House. We're going straight into the hornet's nest,
yeah.
So to speak,
yeah,
down 8th Street. Right, which mm-hmm. is now that very
Black Lives Matter plus.
Oh yeah, the very conservative, loving mayor that cares about patriotic values and all that.
She's that person, kinda, yes.
Yeah, that person, right? I was just saying, you know, I think before we came on air, I think that literally my child's four-year-old birthday party mm-hmm. had more people than all the people at the Sleepy Joe rallies. Even if you take the rallies for the last 15 months, yeah. But we're going to go down 8th Street mm-hmm. and then we'll come back around on 15th and then we'll end up at the Ellipse and we've got probably about five or six amazing speakers like Joy Villa, Young Pharoah, Crystal Tini, just a host of amazing speakers. It's going to be a good time.
Well, tell us a little bit about not just the point of the march, but it really is kind of the DNA of the march is the Constitution, right? I mean, talk to us about the constitutional rights and being under attack, especially in today's society.
Well, sir, you know, like, bottom line,
yeah.
I just got tired of feeling pressed up against the wall with this whole COVID thing, if you want to call it that.
That's what
and,
it is.
Like, it's gotten interesting, right? With mm-hmm. one day we mask, one day you don't mask, and then there's this arbitrary distance that evidently the virus is... can infect us right now because you and I are 6 feet away.
Yeah, apparently it's good. Maybe if we're 5.5, it might be different.
Yeah, right. Or like 5.3, 6.2, who knows?
Right.
You know,
but it's arbitrary. A lot of it's been arbitrary. You're not quite sure what to do exactly.
Exactly. And then they change their mind all the time. And then in the first time in epidemiological history, you have this arbitrary 6-foot distance and these facial diapers that you wear, and then everybody's okay, evidently. Mm-hmm. But at any rate, mm-hmm. We're basically yeah. just going to be talking about constitutional freedom. For everybody. We don't care what you worship. We don't care what color your skin is. We just care, do you want red, white, and blue? And do you want your kids to be able to stand for the flag? And do you want them to actually be able to recognize America mm-hmm. 10 or 15 years from now? And right now, I think that's a big question that in order to have those values that you and I were raised with, mm-hmm. We got to start fighting. And that's the whole purpose of these rallies, and that's why Chris Lippi and I, that's why we founded 1776 Forever Free.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about that organization. Well, that you kind of said the overall point of it, but what are you hoping to do within the organization in terms of awareness and other things?
Yeah, well, our goal is we want to get people excited at these rallies, okay. But bottom line, after they're excited, we also want to get them active. I really see that silent majority that's out there can be mobilized. I mean, I have friends that are now never, don't have any political experience at all, but now they're jumping into politics. They're jumping into their local government. They're getting involved in city council. And that's what we want to do. We want people, whether you're a soccer mom, which is, in my opinion, is the most important job in the world, right? Or whether you're a service member, whether you're a teacher, whatever your trade is, we want you to know that we want you to become a politician. We want you to say, you know what? These local city and state governments, these mayors, these city councils, look what happened under COVID. With all the restrictions where you had some states where men and women were standing up saying, you know what, we're not doing this in our neck of the woods. Mm-hmm. And then you had others that just kind of laid down and allowed it to happen. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what it's about. We want to motivate, move, touch, and inspire, but then we want people to get out and act and get involved.
Yeah, well, I would think a big part of that is education. I mean, it just seems like we're just not very much of an informed citizenry as we used to be back in the Black Robe Regiment days and the Revolutionary War days. It just seems like we're kind of lax in that area, especially with the Gen Zers and the millennials out there.
100%, David. I totally agree with that. I think that you're right. Like, in most places, this is just a mask mandate. These are mandates. They're not laws. But as patriots, we're being asked to do it. And now's the time where I think conservatives like you and I, really freedom fighters, you've been doing it way longer than I have. Mm-hmm. I think it's time that we kind of stood up and said, you know what, enough is enough. I'm not going to let you do that in my neck of the woods. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to fight back. And I think there's a peaceful way to do that. And that's what 1776 is all about. So we're going around the country, the nation. We're not going to stop after this freedom tour ends. In fact, I've got a book I'm launching called 1776 Forever Free. divided to united, a patriot's journey. It's going to be about solutions, about what our forefathers did, and about what you can do now to really move the needle on freedom.
California, you're from, I guess, California now.
Yeah, well, I'm an Alabama boy.
Right.
But I live in Adolf Newsom's nation there. Like, yeah. I guess the nation that he governs communistically over.
Right. Well, I was going to say, I mean, that's off the reservation out there. I mean, what in the world? I mean, the church. We've been following the church situation out there, but it's not just churches. I mean, which is kind of funny. They want to have electric cars by 2035, apparently, in California. They can't even figure out the rolling blackouts. But anyhow, that's a whole separate issue. What do you make of what's happening in California? And what do you do specifically? I'm curious for yourself when it comes to masks, because, you know, you got to go into a grocery store, CVS. I mean, they want you to wear the mask. You can't go in. So what do you do? I mean, you don't want to do it from a constitutional standpoint, but there's these mandates. So how do you handle all of that?
Well, that's a great question, David. And, you know, it's an honor to be here with you. Like, honestly, because, you know, just looking back with everything you've done to move the needle on freedom, you know, I just kind of looked around, like a lot of Americans, felt backed up against a wall. And I thought about my kids. I got a 4-year-old, I got a 2-year-old. And just kind of looking at what was happening. When my video went viral and I got about 15 million hits, I started to say, I can sit on the sidelines or I can fight back. With the masking thing, I mean, honestly, for myself, I just go in and I tell folks and I tell businesses, I said, hey, I know it's not your rule, but I'm not going to put on a mask. Constitution says I don't have to. I've got a medical exemption that says I don't have to. Mm-hmm. And this is a mandate.
Well, how? So, what do they say to that?
Well, you know, I get resistance. I'm
sure,
not going to say
you.
I don't. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it does get, there are intense moments for defending it. But a lot of times I just walk in now, walk right past whoever, I go to what I want, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm buying groceries or milk or whatever, right? I'll go to that section. If somebody comes up to me, I'll be like, I'm gonna buy this milk, and I promise you, in the next 3 minutes, you won't get the COVID virus and die. You're gonna survive, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. and I just say it in a loving way that way.
Right.
And also for small businesses, I try to just tell them, I said, hey, with this medical exemption letter that I have, mm-hmm. you're protected. The ADA, you're protected by ADA and OSHA regulations around masking. A lot of people don't know that.
Well, listen, Dr. Cordy Williams, I appreciate you being here. Good luck with the march this weekend.
Thanks, David. Really appreciate it. It's an honor.
Good for you. All right, when we come back, Savannah Guthrie, I mean, don't get me started. Well, actually, get me started, because after the break, I'm going to get started with talking a little bit about the Trump Town Hall, which, I, by the way, should have been probably titled A National Town Hall with Savannah Guthrie, the way it was. Play the vault. Back in a moment.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Time now for the last sip back here on the water cooler. How about Savannah Guthrie last night? Look, I've known her for a while. NBC News, right? Knock Yourself Out, the Today Show. I don't even know where to begin with Savannah Guthrie. It was like a national town hall with Savannah Guthrie, not Donald Trump. I mean, it's one thing to have assertive questioning, but this was over the top. Have a look.
There's no one that says you can't be out there, but it's just about wearing masks and having, for example, your rallies don't require masks.
No, I denounce white supremacy.
Okay.
What's your next question?
Do you feel, it feels sometimes you're hesitant to do so, like you
hesitant.
Wait a bit.
Here we go again.
Let me ask you about QAnon. It is this theory that Democrats are a satanic pedophile ring and that you are the savior of that. Now, can you just once and for all state that that is completely not true and that disavow QAnon in its entirety?
I know nothing about QAnon.
I just told you.
I know very little. You told me, but what you tell me doesn't necessarily make it fact. I hate to say that. I know nothing about it. I do know they are very much against pedophilia. They fight it very hard, but I know nothing about
it. They believe it is
a
satanic cult run by the deep state.
Study the subject. I'll tell you what I do know about. I know about Antifa, and I know about the radical left, and I know how violent they are and how vicious they are, and I know how they're burning down cities run by Democrats, not run by Republicans.
Republican Senator Ben Sasse said, quote, QAnon is nuts, and real leaders call conspiracy theories conspiracy theories.
He may be
right. Why not just say it's crazy and not true?
He may be right. I just don't know about QAnon.
You do know.
I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know.
You tell me all about it.
Let's waste the whole show. You start off with white supremacy, I denounce it. You start off with something else, let's go. Keep asking me these questions.
Okay.
Let me just tell you, what I do hear about it is they are very strongly against pedophilia. And I agree with that. I mean, I do agree with that, and I agree
but
with it.
But there's not
very
a satanic pedophile.
I have no idea. I know
you
nothing
don't
about
know that?
That.
Okay.
No, I don't know
you
that.
Just
neither,
this
neither
week.
Neither do you know that.
Okay.
That was pathetic. It's one thing to have aggressive questioning. It's another thing to be condescending with an attitude. I mean, that's what it was. I mean, she was like, yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. What was that? It's like Rachel Maddow walked into her office before and said, hey, Savannah, you know, lower the boom. Lawrence O'Donnell, hey, Savannah, go after him here. I mean, and Savannah Guthrie was like, yes, whatever you say, NBC, I'll do whatever you want. It was pathetic. Give me a break. We're back in a moment. Well, you know, look, there's been a lot of talk about Trump versus Biden, and rightly so. But what about the balance of power in the Senate? That's a big freaking deal. That's right. I said freaking. With more on that, let's bring in Just the News senior correspondent Nick Ballasy. Hey, Nick, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, David.
All right. So what's the lay of the land in the Senate at this point? I mean, Dems, they think they have a real shot at taking this thing back, right?
They do. And there are some organizations that do polling who are saying that it's very likely the Democrats could take it back. We've got Ted Cruz saying that if the Democrats win the White House, they're also going to win the Senate. If the Republicans win the White House, they're also going to take the majority or keep the majority in the Senate. But look, I mean, when it comes to timing on the campaign trail, the Republicans have been really tied up. Republicans who are in some tough races tied up on the Hill with the confirmation process for Barrett. And then there's also some things McConnell wants to do before the election, like a stimulus bill, a $500 billion coronavirus stimulus package. These things are going to take time away from the senators who are locked in tough races in their home state. So it's taken away from their campaign time.
By the way, speaking of some tough races, I mean, they're like defending terrain everywhere across this country. I mean, Tom Tillis has got a race, Joni Ernst as well. Susan Collins, we know about her. What about Cory Gardner? I mean, that doesn't look good out there either. What's your sense of where is he and what's going on in terms of that race?
Yeah, that's a race that is a toss-up. I mean, it looks like it could go either way. And privately, Mitch McConnell is warning GOP leaders that the Democrats are on fire. When you look at their fundraising totals, look at the fundraising that's going on in South Carolina against Lindsey Graham. It's like over $50 million was the recent reporting of the amount of money that his challenger is raising. But, you know, it remains to be seen, though, if this confirmation process is going to help energize the Republican base more than the Democratic base, because the Democrats are pretty angry that they didn't get Merrick Garland on the court, you know, at the end of the Obama presidency. But then again, Supreme Court picks do energize the Republican base, too. So we'll see.
Well, Nick, I appreciate it. Keep on hustling out there. Boy, you and your camera, you got that whole thing down pat, getting those politicians. Thanks, Nick. I appreciate it. All right. On Monday on the big show, Sean Spicer will be here. Look, we have guests galore. Don't play with us. As we say, we ain't playing. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.